A new book poses the question, what if fungi win? Welcome back to Textination. I'm Fred Fishkin. Joining us is the author, Dr. Arturo Casadevall, an epidemiologist, professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and inventor. Right off the bat, you're telling us that humans and fungi share nearly 50% of the same DNA. I feel a little cannibalistic. I love mushrooms.
You know, Fred, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to join your show. That number has to be taken with a little bit of a grain of salt, because it's relative to what? If you were to look at plants, they would be further away. If you were to look at cows, they'd be much closer together. So let's just say that the 50% is a reminder that they are very similar to us.
Well, lots of folks watched The Last of Us and assumed that it's just science fiction, but we could become victims of a fungal disease that threatens our existence. I guess that's part of what you're getting to in the book.
So I think the answer is yes, because we are seeing that the bats are threatened, the frogs are threatened. We're seeing the salamanders are threatened. So many bats have gone extinct. But when The Last of Us came out, I had my 15 minutes of fame, because since I've written about this, a lot of people wanted to talk to me, in particular reporters. And the question everybody asked me was, is this possible? And the answer I always gave was, it's improbable, but not impossible. And when they said, what do you mean? I said, well, we don't know of any fungus that can go into somebody's brain and turn you into a zombie. On the other hand, we know that some fungi make LSD and give you hallucinations. So is it conceivable that there is some fungal species among the 6 million plus that is out there that can do something like this? Maybe. But right now, it's improbable, but not impossible.
Well, tell us the story of how you began your research.
So, Fred, my formative years in medicine as a doctor was during the AIDS, or the first years of the AIDS epidemic. And that's a time that is increasingly distant. People have very little poor memories of that time. But it was a time in which a new disease came out that was unknown to medicine and began to kill people that appeared to be otherwise healthy. And the way that it killed them was it made them susceptible to infectious diseases. And among these diseases, the fungi were among the major killers. So when I trained in Bellevue Hospital in the mid-1980s, what we saw was a lot of fungal diseases taking down apparently healthy people. And I became very interested in this group of organisms and decided to study it. At the time, we didn't think that there will be a day when there will be highly effective antiretroviral therapy. We didn't think that you would be able to extend life the way you can do with or treat HIV, such that people who are well treated have normal lives. So I wanted to focus on fungal research to try to do something about these diseases. And that's how I ended up working on the fungi.
And there are some good things that fungi provide us, helping to keep us healthy. Tell us a bit about that.
So when part of my motivation in writing this book was to introduce the general public, and as well as specialists and things, to this wonderful world of the fungal kingdom. We've been talking about bad fungi like maybe The Last of Us, so can cause disease. But the fungi are essential for life on Earth. Without them, animal matter would just accumulate. They recycle all the nutrients. They are great foodstuffs. Eating mushrooms is very healthy. It actually stimulates your immune system, provides you with fiber. Without the fungi, there'd be no wine. I mean, what a world without wine.
Really, really interesting. And one of the fun things is that the pronunciation of the word itself, fungi, you were telling me that you can say it any way you want, and you're not wrong.
That's right, Fred. To our listeners, I have heard all variations, and I heard all variations from experts. So, what are the variations? Some people call it fungi, some people call it fungi, and some people call it fungi. And what I would say is, if we are gentle, it's easy. I think if you say it either in any of those three ways, we know what you mean.
And before we go, leave us with this story about the humongous fungus in Oregon. This is truly an amazing,
So
amazing.
the largest organism on Earth is not a whale, is not a sequoia tree, but it's a fungus. And you can't see it because it's under the ground. And it spreads out over 4 square miles. How do people know that it's the same organism? Well, you know, what they do is they sample it in one place and they do genetics and they say, okay, this is what it is. And then they walk to another place and they sample it again and they see that it's the same individual. So it just gives you a sense of the monumental nature of this kingdom, that this organism is there under the ground, you know, connected with all the life in the area, in some ways causing disease in trees, in other ways nourishing the soils, and yet we know so little about it.
You know, has the hobby, I don't know if you'd call it a hobby, of foraging for mushrooms, has that grown?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful hobby, in the sense that individuals who do this become absolute experts on the mushrooms, and they keep a lot of the knowledge in mycology alive. Mycology is the field of science that studies mushrooms. I think that it's the only thing I would say is that you got to do it with an expert and be very careful because there are poison of mushrooms out there and they can make you very sick and kill you. So I myself, I'm not an expert. I don't eat anything I can't buy at the supermarket.
And the people who do forage who aren't experts, they're not with us anymore. So,
Well, I would like to encourage people to be interested in the mushrooms, but do it with somebody who knows. There are local groups. I'm sure that if you search for groups in your area, there are people. These are social communities. They go out there, they go into the forest, they look at these things, and they're just amazing.
And again, what are you hoping the reader comes away with from your book?
I want the reader to come away with an appreciation of this incredible kingdom, the fungal kingdom, all the things that it does, all the things that it does for us, as well as the fact that it does pose major threats. Like everything is I want him to come away with a sense of nuance that we need to know more about this invisible kingdom. We don't see it. The only time you see the mushrooms, right, is when it rains and it's wet and you may see some pop up overnight or when you go to the supermarket. And yet it's everywhere, it's all over the biosphere and it's making life as we know it possible.
And it's not animal, not plant, something else altogether.
It's fungi, fungi, or fungi.
The book again, What If Fungi Win? Dr. Arturo Casadevall, thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me, Fred.